Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Warning, the following program
is the officially sanctioned podcast
where three friends
talk about the show
about four friends
who compete to embarrass each other.
The Joker Podcast.
All right. Boom, boom, boom. Welcome.
Hey. All right.
Happy belated Bastille Day.
Did we miss that? Was that?
Well, technically, we're doing it right now. Wednesday, we're recording. Today is Bastille Day, July 14th. Mm-hmm. Getting jiggy with this Bastille shit as we are over here. But yeah, so for when they listen, this will be a belated Bastille Day.
Now, James, did you know that because it's like you are the Bastille fan, or you just was just chance that you saw that on a calendar?
I knew that it was the 14th, and I just so happened to see that we're recording on the 14th.
Right.
You know, I'm a bit of a Francophile, love French culture, ran the Paris Marathon, 2010.
Wow.
It was beautiful. I know a little bit about Bastille Day.
Wow. That's really impressive. Running a marathon alone for me is impressive. If you could do that, I've never done it. So, but the fact that you did it in another country, you don't even know what the altitudes are like. You just went for it.
Let me tell you this, Paris Marathon's pretty much a pancake. Highly recommend it. Very flat.
Ooh. Do you mean when you say pancake, do you mean it's like a crepe? I think you should probably say it's
you're right. I'm not that big of a Francophile. Thank you. Yeah. It's more of a crepe. A bit of a crepe walk. To tie it into Jokers, I remember thinking when Murr did the marathon, like the run over the Brooklyn Bridge, I remember pitching like, he should run a full marathon. Mm-hmm. I'm like, he can do it. Like, let's just enter him in one day and he can do it. And this is in my mind, like, doable, because I used to run in college. And for the Paris one, I didn't really train. It was just a couple years after college for me. And I was like, yeah, I think he could do it. And then recently, I hadn't like run in like 5 years. I recently started to run, and it's really hard if you haven't done it in a while. I don't think you can just do nothing for 5+ years or a lifetime in Murray's case, and then just run a marathon.
Yeah.
It would have been very hard. So I'm happy they didn't do that. It would have killed him.
In those shoes too. The shoes that's like this oversized
near
shoes.
Impossible.
I wonder if anyone's ever like run a marathon in clown shoes.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah?
Yeah, people do weird things. Like, people do it like while juggling.
Oh my gosh.
Like in all sorts of weird costumes. Like you'll see like a Darth Vader run a marathon every now and
then.
That's
cool. That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got to spice it up. If you've won a few marathons and there's no way you're like winning the marathon, it's like, you better have fun.
I like how in this scenario, it's someone that's won a few already. And they're like, you know what? Let me spice it up. Let me win one in a Darth suit this time.
Agreed.
And really just showboating.
Yeah.
And maybe kind of like high step on the way in, kind of like an Imperial March.
I mean, think about Babe Ruth, right? He hit so many home runs. He started pointing to where he wanted the home run to go.
Yeah.
No one ever talks about like the times that he didn't get a home run and pointed. Like Babe Ruth would probably point sometimes and then not get a home run. And everyone was like, all right, babe, it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's embarrassing. He's just like, oh, I was pointing at like my mom.
Yeah, I was saying hi to my mom.
Although I think famously an orphan. So,
yeah.
But hey, we're waking up over here on Bastille Day.
Ruth. I'm saying that's Babe Ruth's mom's name. I'm hoping. All right. Well, welcome to the official and practical Jokers podcast. Wow, we're really we're going for it today. This is we didn't really start until a couple of minutes into the podcast, but that's what you get, folks. How are you guys feeling, Shay? How are you doing?
I'm waking up. It's a little early for me, not to be on set.
Right, that's true.
Yes.
So and we wrapped at like, well, you wrapped a little bit earlier, but we wrapped at like 1 a.m.
Mm.
So by the time I got home and had to look for parking, because I'm in the city, it's like maybe 2:33 o'clock for me. Whoa. But I love you guys and I'm here.
We love you.
Let's do it.
Yeah. New York City parking could be its own punishment.
Man.
Yeah. But this episode, man, it's a weird one, right? I like it a lot. Let's just talk about it overall.
Sure.
We get like a crazy first turn. I love this first challenge, getting the Japanese investors coming in and all that. But then we go into the second turn, we just get Mer.
I know.
That's the second challenge is just a Mer challenge.
It's
and then, yeah, then into the Mer pun.
And a Mer pun. So it's almost like in some ways, he has two punishments in this episode. That's kind of the way you got to think of it. Although, you know, that first one, you get to hang out with that cool, that second challenge, he gets to hang out with that cool kid who's helping with the dating profile. But I guarantee there's going to be like some flack on, you know, some site or Twitter or on Reddit where people are like, that was barely an episode, but it's regular length. Yes. It's, you know, it'll feel short, but it's the regular length. It's not like we're taking a minute, but I think part of it is like the first bit was there was so much there. I don't think they wanted to cut it down. So then the second challenge, I mean, you know, that really happened where Mer had such a bad score. They were like, okay, Sal's not even going to go. And then there should be another side of that turn coming down the pike. There should be two more people will go.
The guys made other dating profiles. We get to see them later on in the season, if you're wondering. But they're just kind of like, listen, like we, like again, when you're like making up these episodes, it's like, well, we have this one thing that's really long and really funny, and like Murray's just gonna lose, so like what's the point of playing this out? Because Murray often goes first. That's another thing. Like,
yeah, they do not
lot of days, it appears differently in the cut. Like, you know, he might in the episode sometimes he might go second, third, fourth, whatever, but like when we shoot for real, usually he's on the floor first.
Yes.
So he started with a negative 10. It's like, well, what if we just say that's it? Because no one else is going to get that bad.
Right.
And that's kind of how that came about. It's definitely like a weird episode. I'm sure wherever internet is sold, there will be some complaining about it. Being like, well, I didn't get to see more or Joe turns or Sal or, you know, too.
That's what you get when you get a first bit like this first challenge. I love this concept. I knew the idea, but I was like, is this intro even going to describe what's going to happen? And so when they talk about it, I was like, I think that people are going to be confused. Like Shay, you were there that day, so you knew it. But like when you were rewatching this intro, like for this episode, was it clear to you?
It wasn't clear. And what we usually do is we'll do the intro at the end because even though you guys sit down and you figure out like what the bit's going to be, they change it. Mm-hmm. So we never know like the game that's played or whatever, it gets changed in the middle. So it's good to do the intro at the end, which is probably what we should have did for this one.
So this time we did the intro beforehand?
Beforehand.
So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's once you start the bit, the guys are really good at being like, oh, by the way, in case that intro is too clunky, because we had like four lines to tell you what this whole challenge is going to be, this is how it works. And then like as you watch, you get it too. But I think it's they're such good television minded people that are like anybody can sit down in front of a TV like an adult or an older person or a child and watch this. So like let's make it as easy as possible.
Yeah, they're great at it, and they've gotten even better at it over the years. Like oftentimes, like on set when we're watching them film, they'll talk about whether they got something for the edit or like to make sure they said something like you're saying, Casey, in the BTS, so the editors can use that to like cut it in to again reiterate the gameplay, especially for a weird game like this for the home audience. It's impressive when they do it. It actually, I guess, anecdote, it reminds me, I went to a taping of Fuller House when that show came back. Remember when Full House came back and they did Fuller House? And I got to go to a taping because one of my buddies wrote for the show. And I got to watch those actors do like a sitcom. I've never seen a sitcom get filmed before. And they're just so well-trained and they're so used to doing their job and their craft. Like just to be able to reset and like the director will come out and just be like, all right, actually hit this mark, jump over here, like say it again and just say it, like do it like quicker, like switch this to that hand. And like, they're just really fast at like being able to do things. I don't know. It's like kind of what you're saying, Casey. They're just pros. And like, it's fun to watch pros work and like just take in like a bunch of direction and like spit it out without even like a second notice. Cause it's like when they're filming that show, like they were just like, all right, one, two takes, we're done, moving on to the next thing. And like for us, it's like, obviously it's like, we don't really get other takes. In BTS, we kind of get more time, but
Right.
Yeah. It's just like really great to watch the guys like work and, you know, churn out that stuff to make it easily digestible for the fans at home.
Yeah. They're savvy with that stuff.
Yeah.
Like Shay, you work on a lot of different types of shows mm-hmm. and you have more on-set experience than James and I combined mm-hmm. in terms of like them versus other talent. Like what are some differences?
Well, with them, a lot of other talent are just talent. Mm. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go on.
They're more involved in the show because this is their baby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they're more involved. Gatto, I think, is he's a genius when it comes to filming and editing, and his mind is just always going. So as we're filming the show, he's already thinking about edits and how it should be cut together. And so when you were saying how they just come out and put it together in the edits and all that, Gatto, we used to have a scripty. We don't have a scripty anymore because of COVID. We can't have with so many people on set. So we don't have a scripty anymore, but the scripty would just pretty much take down the notes that Gatto or James or Sal, or I'm sorry, Prince Herb would, whatever they would say, she would write it down and then Gatto would go back into editing and kind of, you know, do his thing. But they're all very, very smart when it comes to film. They know where, like, I think Prince Herb is one of the funniest persons in the world, like people in the world. I think when it comes to all four of them, he might be the funniest.
Well, like I think what you mean is like he's very like comedic savvy and like he wants to push things forward and make everything authentic and original.
100%.
You know, I mean, they all do, but Sal's like the cop about it in a good way. He's like, if anything's like another show, like, oh, Punk'd did this in 2007, you know, like he'll know and be we can't rip off other things.
100%.
Yeah. And even in this challenge, he's like the most stickler for the gameplay. You could see he's really like letting his mark answer for him because like he just kind of looks mouth agape. I thought he did a great job supporting the mark in like a very funny way, but making sure that the mark answered because that was the game. And so like he kind of just like would turn mouth agape at the mark and be like, you wait for him to answer. It was a great job.
I think this whole challenge like has a lot to it that I think this could be a pilot for a whole other television show. It's an insane idea.
Yeah.
And this first mark, right? So it's first of all, it's Murr. And then the guy's name, I think, was Cam.
Cam, yeah.
Overall, I'm like, this is the best possible version of this challenge, like with this guy. I mean, everybody had their strengths.
Yes.
But this guy was like so gung-ho, you know, immediately was like, you know, we're the second largest shoelace company. Like he knew. And he said, we, like, so are we. Like, you know, he kept using we as, you know.
I agree, man. Like when he went, I was like, it's not going to get better than this. Why did it go first? Like, I was like, how does this go first? And then the next lady came out and she was awesome. Like I can't believe it. Yeah, I loved Cam.
I agree. And I had the same thought. I was like, what's this going to, like, how are we going to top this? And then it was nice to see even a person like, Beth, who was with Joe, you know, who said like, oh, I can't go to dinner tonight. I got to pick up my child. And then they had the investor say like, we're no longer interested. She's like, I'll go to dinner. Like, it's just, that's so sweet. It was so fun to see like all of this stuff unfold.
Yeah, it's definitely when Beth brought up the carcasses for Joe. That was fantastic.
I mean, that's the goal. That's the goal.
And just like talk about the goal of the challenge for a second. So they had to agree to get them to go to dinner. Mm. Like, again, this is season 9. If this was season, whatever, 3 or something, it would have been just to get the mark to opt in to sit at the table, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But now the guy's like, all right, well, I'm positive we're going to get that, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm probably also like going to be able to get them to like agree to things during the meeting and get them to play along. So it's like, let's just have it be this thing at the end of they have to agree to like a second location meetup. It's like, they're like, we're already so good at the earlier parts of this that we can't even make that the goal, basically. Right. It's just crazy.
It's true. They're like, it's season 9. So like, it's chestnut checkers at this point.
Absolutely.
I also just love what they did with the actors that were playing the overseas investors.
Yes.
Because there's so many, like, you know, Velcro killed my brother. Like, I loved when Gatto was like, he just said angry sidebar and they're all just kind of like, you know, kind of squabbling and like hitting the desk.
Right. The actors are great. They were perfect. They nailed it.
Derek Jeter, like those things were like so fun to like have, you know, cause you know, at one point if it wasn't for COVID, we kind of wanted to have different investors for every turn. There was a pitch where we would have German investors,
right,
and we would have like, you know, Italian, like whatever it was, each, just like there was a new company each time,
right,
we would have different investors, but ultimately we could only get like, you know, three actors and, you know, it's just because of COVID rules and stuff. And I mean, I'm pretty happy with how that came out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And there's also, I mean, we prepared a lot for this bit in terms of things that even never got used, because they ended up all being the CEO of the company.
Yep.
But like, we ended up a bunch of the comedy producers, like we had to like make like portfolios for all these different fake companies.
Yep.
And like fake financial documents that they might go over if they were the CFO, and like what about if they were the lawyer, and like fake legal documents, all these other things. And then it's just funny, day I was like, actually I think we're all going to be the CEOs, and we're like, great. Yep. No problem.
And just to let everyone know, a little behind the scenes, the Manduke group was Murr.
Yeah.
And that's for our, you know, a story producer, person Megan who's been on the show for a long time, Megan Manduke.
Yeah. Supervising producer now, Megan Manduke. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You know the titles. Yeah.
She's the best. And the guys love her and her last name. So I think Manduke pops up all over. I think it wasn't in Cranches one time. It may not have made the cut, but it was like Mandukadoo or something like that.
Yeah.
Gets in there sometimes. So yeah, Megan's the best.
Another thing that I love, like looking forward to at the end of each turn, was like the investors would really push the limits and throw them on the spot of like, or with the divorce, like for Joe, yes, and Beth. And then it was also her birthday recently. So they sang happy birthday. They would ask with Prince Herb, yeah, and Mo, they asked like, how is climbing Mount Everest? And I love what Prince Herb said, which was like, oh, because of your bio on the website, you know,
really,
like
what,
which
him
is such a funny like way to make him say it without it was so good. Also, Mo was great with like handling the whole, like, you know, one word, traction.
Uh-huh. Mo is great. Any of these are marks of the episode?
Yes,
of course.
I think so. I mean, because really, there's not that many marks. It's either these. it's the guy from Dating Profile, or it's a snake.
That snake is pretty good. Who are you going with, Shay?
I'm cross between two. I'm cross between Cam, and I'm also cross between the Murr's guy in the last bit.
Oh, okay, yeah, because he was so cool.
Yeah. So I can't really tell yet.
I know. I'm torn, because I think it would. My first instinct was Cam, mm-hmm, and I should go with that. But there was something like I didn't know what Q's mark would be like. That was that was the wild card. And then where he got to was amazing. Like he really went all in. He's Walt Flanagan, who's, if you guys listen to Tell Us, Steve Dave, you know, it's Q's good friend. We couldn't get Walt, so this is the best thing we could do. I don't know if Walt will ever see the show.
Right.
Walt, if you know Walt, then you know. And so it's pretty great to even just have that in there. And I like that this guy went from 0 to 60. He was all in. Donkey is you know, like everyone loves margaritas.
That's like a new category, Case. It's like most improved mark.
Yeah. Yes.
He got so better funny as the challenge went on. So he's not the mark of the episode, not the MVP mark, but he's the most improved mark.
Most improved.
I love it.
He gets the most improved through the season. I mean, one episode.
I'd have to go with Cam. I'd go with Cam as well for my mark of the episode. I thought, again, a bunch of deserving ones in this episode, but Cam for me is just my favorite.
I also love that the company is like, none of them are serious. They're all serious sounding, you know, where it's like the largest shoelace company, or the soft shell pencil cases, like south of Canada or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, what was it? Like the other one with pet toys. That's like, you were used like fortified carcasses.
It's all like traveling salesman companies, right? Yes. Is what it sounds like to me. It's like out of like a Arthur Miller play or something like that. It, like all these like defunct jobs that no longer exist. But this is the company, and just so much space.
Yeah.
So much space.
But Donkey Margarita Blenders is like so funny. Like, it's of the other ones, that's the craziest one.
That's one I'd invest in for sure.
Yes.
Oh, totally.
I think that one could take off, actually. We got to get Guy Fieri in there.
Oh,
and,
totally.
I think that could go pretty far. Forget the Donkey Dan.
I really do love that one, because when it started, I was like, okay, that's going to be a little goofy. Let's see how this goes. And I actually like the way it went even more, because I mean, aside from like where the woman said, Beth said fortified carcasses, because she remembered that.
Right.
But just the fact that with the margaritas, like he got to say everyone loves margaritas. They're like, you know, a donkey is a party guy. Whenever you get drunk, you get like a donkey. Yep. And then everyone doing the hee-haw.
Wonderful. That was a great moment. If anyone is ever interested in taking like an improv class, like this challenge to me is like basically what like intro to improv is. It's like you just say yes. Marks are all just like jumping in, agreeing to these things. And then it's like everybody hee-haw, and you just all hee-haw together, and it ends up being funny.
You're so, absolutely right.
Definitely reminded me of that.
Totally right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So this was definitely one of my favorite challenges. I think this is my favorite challenge of the season. I think it's so bizarre. I remember when we were talking about it in the pitch, like I love the idea, the concept. It was one, sometimes, you know, we talk about these ideas and I'm like, yeah, but are we going to be able to pull that off? And I was like, will anyone even go with it? And then now you see four people went with it. Because everyone's nice. You forget that, you know, human beings are nice until you watch our show.
It definitely restores your faith in humanity when you watch Impractical Jokers.
I think so.
And that's another thing. I mean, again, when we talk about the marks, like we filmed all of this during COVID. This is pre-vaccine when this bit was shot. And I do think a lot of the marks were just so happy to interact with people again. Like, again, everyone was tested. That's how we did it. So like all the marks were tested multiple times. The actors that play our investors tested multiple times. Once everyone got the all clear, showed up on set and we did the thing. But I think people are just like, yes, I'm in. I will do anything. I've been in my house the entire time. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think we get so many good marks this season.
All right. Let's talk dating profile. We've done this we've done this challenge a couple times. I always like it. I think one of the first times we did it was at a coffee shop and Maria Menounos showed up. Like she was like supposed to interview the guys. And I think she did a turn. We had a little extra time. Yep. And wait, did that air on the regular show?
I think it did.
Did it go into the episode? Or I don't know if it was like a special thing. Like it went into a special
episode, I think.
Mm-mm. Oh, wow. I'm sorry. I'm talking. I don't even know. I'm just like talking out my butt. I'm like, guys, you didn't know this. And it was like fully on an episode. We filmed so much, guys. I'm sorry.
But it was a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the same website name, I'll say. We use LoveQuest again. We always use LoveQuest. Mm. And I think we have the domain name for that. It was like a thing we had to make sure we had.
For sure. We'd be sued if we didn't.
Yeah. And yeah, James S. Murray, a married man. First time doing dating profiles, a married man, wearing his ring out onto the floor. Surefire way to lose. Even though he took it off and he lost by a lot.
That's true. You should have left it on.
But yeah, this is just such a fun bit. I love it. But I also love, again, like, because it's during COVID, we had to figure out, he can't sit right next to this guy. So just like dumb little things like, all right, how do we get him to show the computer? Because he used to like sidle right up next to people. Mm-hmm. So then you see Murray, you know, I think he should get an Emmy for this. His acting here is going like, ooh, oh, they have Apple TV. I can just stream. Great.
I love it.
Throws it up onto the screen. So you get to check out James Murray's acting chops right there, which I think Emmy Award. Emmy, they just came out. Did he get nominated?
He did. He did for this bit, for literally that line. He best line in a hidden camera show.
Mm-hmm. We won an award.
MTV.
Wait.
Oh, that's right.
Over the break, we won an award. How about that? First award ever.
We sure did.
The MTV
Unscripted
TV and Film Unscripted. Yeah. Best game show.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I didn't watch it. It's fine. I'm so sad. I watched their acceptance speech, which I thought was really nice. I think they, you know, they always handle themselves so well in those moments. But I think it's great. I'm pumped to I'll take it. I mean, I'm not going to get it, but I'll take it.
I'm sorry. I say this all the time. We beat out Wildin' Out.
Yeah.
Yes, you do say it all the time.
We
have to edit it out of the podcast constantly. You keep yelling, "We beat Wildin' Out."
We beat Wildin' Out.
Did you work on
Wildin' Out?
Have you worked on Wildin' Out?
I have not, but I work with a lot of people who have. A lot of our crew, when we're not shooting, works on
Wildin'
Out. Case, you're on the show, right?
No, I was on Joking Off, which was the sister show for a little bit on MTV. That was pretty funny. That was wild because everybody was like, yeah, we're trying to be like Wildin' Out.
We vanquished Joking Off and we beat Wildin' Out. Yeah, it's our first award. But yeah, I also, it's funny. I had no idea we were nominated. I got a text from my aunt who's in her 60s that said, you won the MTV award. I was like, great. So maybe we'll get, do we get replica popcorn, Casey? How does this work?
I don't think so. I don't think we get shit.
We don't get shit.
All right.
They got it. We don't get shit.
I think I'm going to have to look at what this award looks like. I think it's popcorn, and we'll, I'll just make one for my house.
Yeah.
So I think we deserve it. I think
if I could win any award, I think, because from growing up, I always did want the Moon Man.
Ooh, that's true.
I always wanted them. Like I've never been a person to like have a shelf of accolades or like, you know, a poster of the things I've worked on. But if I got a Moon Man, I would show everybody the Moon Man. I would display that. The Moon Man is, to me, it's better than an Emmy. Like I would love to get an Emmy for music stuff, you know, for Whose Phone Is Ringing. But
of course, yeah,
I would. But I, honestly, though, that would be great.
Yeah. The Moon Man, is that what do we have to do to win that? That's next. Let's do that.
That's VMA.
Is it a movie? A music VMA, video?
That's VMA.
Can we make a music video? It'd be a good punishment.
Yeah, I don't know. What is the Golden Popcorn? That's
Golden Popcorn is movies. It's the MTV Movies Movie Awards. Movie this is the first
that makes
year.
Sense.
The first year they did the unscripted TV or whatever. So it's still the popcorn.
Oh, yeah. So we're the inaugural winner.
Yes, it's still the popcorn.
So this is will always be the first. That this will live on forever.
100%.
Yeah, the Moon.
We've been calling out.
Yeah, I know.
Please, thousands times.
Well, we did the True TV Award. Well, we did the Joker Awards. We should do a True TV version.
We should do the True TV Awards, I think.
Yeah.
So you said we should do the True TV version?
Yeah, we should do the True TV Awards.
I think we're locked for a win there. We can get something.
I know, but that's good. Run. You know, MTV stacks the deck. They have their own award show and they give it to their own shows. I'm actually surprised we even won there because we're not even on that channel. So it's a huge win.
No, absolutely.
What would it be though? Because they have like the popcorn and the Moon Man. What would it be? Like, what would the True TV one be?
Like, I feel like it could
the Merman?
Yeah, I think it could be of a Joker's visage. Maybe I like the Merman.
I like our thumbs up. Like they,
yeah, that's what we did for the Emmers, right?
Yeah,
maybe we just leave it at that. That works. It's positive.
Yeah,
we could also do it where the True TV, since we're gonna spit some truth, it's a thumbs down, and it's like last place gets the award. So whoever's the worst in every category,
ooh, like the Razzies,
We just steal the idea of the Razzies.
Perfect. I like it. And if we can steal slime somehow, if we can slime people like Nickelodeon Awards, I feel like that'd be a real coup for us.
Yeah, I don't think that. I wonder how much slime even Nickelodeon's doing anymore. So I feel like we could really take that IP.
Oh, perfect. This is great.
I'll buy that IP.
All right, we'll pitch it up the ladder.
Yeah, so back to Dating Profile. I think Q, like after this bit, Q definitely talked to this guy and was like, hey, we should hang out. Like he was kind of like, this is going to be my new bro.
Yeah. I definitely felt a kinship between them. Like, I think maybe, either best friends or like Q will mentor him to becoming like him. I could see that guy wearing a driver's cap someday and owning three cats and living alone.
That's right.
It's a high compliment.
Yeah. It's funny. I love when the guys are in the back and they're like, Q kept being like, this guy's so cool. It's like so funny. It just happens sometimes where there's like Prince Herb will be like, oh, this woman's got a great personality. Like they just always vibe. Like they just pick up a vibe from someone.
Well, yeah, this kid, I would say Kanye West would agree with me. The swagger of a college kid, I would say. Or is that T.I.? Sorry.
That's T.I. on the.
Yeah. Never fact check me.
And the swagger of a college kid.
Yes. I think I just lost a while in that.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I wanted to real quick though. I wanted to say because I forgot about this, but when we started talking about Murr's acting in the beginning of the first bit, the investors bit, when he's just talking to Cole and he's talking to that person, you get to see what Murr would be like if he was like a CEO of a company. Like you know what I mean? It's a little slice of like, oh, this could have gone this way. Like if he didn't get into TV, he definitely would have been like worked his way up at like a soft drink company or like something and be like in charge. And you get to see a snippet of what that would be like. And I love it. I love when Murr has to be another role because no matter what, even if he's like working behind the counter, he's like the most important person who's ever worked a cashier.
Well, you know what what you said reminded me of, because I totally agree with you. When you said he could have worked his way up at a soda company, was he worked for a soda company one summer, but the way he brought it up to me was, that one year I did selling Coke. And It was literally, he was selling Coca-Cola from his dorm room because the vending machine didn't have Coca-Cola. And he had, I think he had an internship with Coca-Cola, and they like sent him Coke, and then he would just get it and then sell it to people.
That's crazy. So
yeah, he's definitely, he's always been a bit of an
entrepreneur. I can't believe that. That is
yeah,
next level.
I never knew that.
Yeah, it's James S. Murray, the schemer and the lover trying to win out here on his dating profile. Again, this kid quickly became the alpha in the room. Very calm, cool, collected.
I'm surprised though, because you know, he kept being like, okay, that's good. Like he kept each answer, he kept kind of being positive. But then at the end, he was just like, I'm going to be really honest with you. I would think that.
Yes.
What did he say? Like, he was like, I would think that you're like a psycho killer or something like that.
You're a psychopath.
A psychopath.
Yeah.
So that was a really, that's 0 to 100 in the other way. That's the, that mark was like really nice. And then at the end, he was like, look, this is bad. You get like negative 10 out of 10. Might be the lowest score of all time.
But you need friends like that. Just brutal honesty. And that's why Q wants to hang out with
him. That's why Q wants to hang out, because he tells Murr how it is.
Absolutely.
All right. That's great. And then we get into another Murr moment, and Murr loses the episode. So many things happening at once in a good way. Like, we really played up the Indiana Jones thing. The original name of this was Snake Charmer.
Yeah. I see what we did
Snake
there.
Snake Charmer. I like it. And that was the impetus of the whole idea was like, I think it was probably, you know, orchestrated backwards from the pun of Snake Charmer. And then, you know, the guys get their hands on it and it becomes, you know, we, that thing I remember talking to Joe about the flute, and we wanted to do something with it for so long. Joe plants those seeds, and then when they grow, they become a pretty fun punishment. And then on Dinner Party, he had done like a whole trailer for, you know, Indiana Murr or Murrianda Jones, whichever way we wanted to take it. And sure. I think at one point Gatto says Murriander. He's like Murriander Jones. Like it's like an R.
It's like holding on for dear life to track.
The hat, the whole thing. Like, cause he had that hat and they started riffing on him. And then that just turns into Murr, you know, filming his own Indiana Jones thing. And then that comes back to bite him. Snake bite him in the ass.
Oh man. Yeah. Well said. I love it. Yeah. It's like you said, so much at once. Shout out to our art department on this. I mean, Will Thaxton, you know, Lucy Goldberg, Emily Stryker Epstein, they did a phenomenal job just making this warehouse where we filmed it look so cool. Like, I love like torch lit hallway. Also a fun editing job there when he picks up the flute or the hat, sorry, he picks up the hat and then he turns into Indiana Jones with this cool guy jacket.
Yeah. I think that was all Marina. Marina had that idea from Marina Catala, like our
showrunner
or EP showrunner. I'm not good with titles, guys. I don't see titles. And she was like, I want to do this shot. I want it to do this thing. And so we like made sure that she got what she wanted. Like, when, if that's the thing with this show, if somebody has an artistic vision, the guys are like, okay, let's shoot it. Let's see if it works. And it did.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, man. Like, that's the production design is what the punishment is. Like, I mean, it's great. I would be fine with him just like out in the open with snakes, but adding all that stuff.
Yeah.
It adds to the lore. I love that. I love that they have that attention to detail.
I mean, also, that the fake snake coming out of the basket, I thought was a pretty legitimately good jump scare, even for me at home. I forgot that we did that.
Yeah.
And when the snake came out, I was like, oh shit. And then I was like, oh, it's fake.
I think haters will say it's real. I know. I think haters will be like, oh, there's not going to use real snakes. And then when the real snakes come, they'll be like, I should have known. You know, because I think it takes a little while for there to see a real snake. So I could see some people being like, oh, they're not even going to use real snakes. And then they'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. Those snakes that spill out. That's also like a great, that shot is great too. That was like
unbelievable,
creepy, scary, whatever you want to call it. Like all of them just spilling out when that slide door opens.
Which I also wild. Have another detail that I'm like, what a fun thing to like rig up. It works so well on camera. It looks great.
Yeah. Art department really killed it. And then also, I mean, that's Emily in the flute video, right?
Who's that? Oh, that is?
Yeah.
I didn't even put that together. I wasn't.
Me neither.
Yeah, because we didn't get, like, we couldn't, there's a real, I don't know, even though she could play the flute, but basically there was a real YouTube flute video that we used for Murray. So he like watched the video and he tried to play the Arabian riff. But we couldn't get in touch with the person to like get that cleared. So then for the edit, we had to have one of our people make a copy of that video that we will then show on TV. So yeah, the art department really went from the cradle to the grave on this one. And did a wonderful punishment.
Let me tell you guys something that I'm disappointed in. If I were to bet money, I would have put a lot of money down that Murr would have been able to play it. You don't realize this, but Murr has musical ability. If he sat at a piano, he'd be able to get that melody out in a second. And I really thought that that would go to flute too, because when he did play at Sam Ash, after like 10 minutes or not even like 5 minutes, he started to like work out some notes. And I was in my head, I was like, I think he'll be able to get it. I was almost nervous he'd get it too quick. But he didn't. He really didn't.
Again, this is almost like back to the beginning where I was so confident in him being able to run a full marathon. You're a very good musician, and you were then confident in Murray's ability to take his fledgling skills and turn them into something complete. And we were both wrong. I think
the thing is, that's our problem, yes. James. We believe too much. We believe in people.
We have a lot of faith in James Murray.
The guys were smart enough to have a backup and have that little song there, which is it's also a great reveal. Like, hey, you could have just played this MP3.
And that snake going around him is also pretty scary. Like, you're right, though. He may have, in a Sam Ash, played the Arabian riff. Mm-hmm. But I think he was legitimately scared with a boa constrictor, python's like python circling him.
So another thing a little behind the scenes is that all those other snakes, they could be together, but then they couldn't have all those little smaller snakes with the big snake. That was that's a whole thing. So like, we have to work with like snake handlers. Also, there needed to be like the right temperature of the whole place.
Yeah, the floor was actually too cold. So we had to actually heat the floor, which is why we have so many. If inside those cubbies were blankets, a heated blankets, because the floor was too cold for the snake.
So that was we have to work around you think talent is tough. These snakes really have a lot of demands. They're real divas snakes.
200 of them.
Big time.
I wonder how much it costs. Do you know how much it costs, Shay, to have the snakes?
I do know we had 200 snakes, but I don't know how much.
200 snakes?
We had 200 snakes. And at the end, we had to gather, like, get all the snakes. And we thought we lost two, but we found them.
Wow, that's...
like, two kind of, like, got away. It was kind of scary for us.
That is... I can't believe that. That's such a good fact.
Wow. Good thing we found them.
They were probably just that crafty.
Kara was like, my snakes!
They were probably just getting some snacks. Snake snacks.
Yeah, end of the crafty station.
They're so small, so you can't. They're really, really small. The baby ones that we had, the first ones that came out, they were a mixture of sizes. So a lot of them were really small, so it was hard to find them, and then they kind of like blend in with the wood, and it was crazy.
Wait, didn't we have a snake handler? It sounds like you were in charge of finding them.
We had to. The whole crew kind of jumped in. We were all like looking for at least two snakes.
Now, wild. In terms of punishments, how would you two feel doing this?
I'm not a snake person.
Can you do, like, for a bunch of reasons, like for the snakes, but for the flute stuff?
Off the bat, would love to be Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. Great. Big fan of that. So that's like 10 of 10. Like music, would like to try to play the flute, but then you bring the snakes on board, I'd hate it. I'd really not like to be surrounded. I don't like snakes. Again, as a runner, I used to run a lot in the woods. Mm-hmm. Every now and then you'd cross a snake on your path, and it would always scare the shit out of me. Mm-hmm. Especially like when we're in different parts of the country in the South, I'd be like terrified of like cottonmouths.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I've never seen one, but I was positive one would come out and bite me when I was like down the swamp. So like, I definitely have a fear of snakes. This would be a real punishment for me. I would not want to do it at all. Mm-hmm. Shay?
We actually just worked with another snake, and I held the snake. It was a big snake.
That's right.
But I don't think I could be alone. Like, we had the handler was right there, and like kind of. I don't think I could be alone, so it would be a punishment for me. Cause I'm a punk.
Because it was like choking you too, right?
Yeah, it started to like it was. I know.
What?
Yeah, It went around and Stella too. It went around our production manager, like Stella,
wrapped around our bodies and stuff. No, I'm good.
It just wraps around your neck and like it wants to kill you. inherently, I mean, you know, that's our fall from grace as humanity, right? A snake tricked us.
Yeah, it took us out of Eden. What about you, Case?
So this is tough because I think I'd be able to knock out that melody real quick. You'd have to make me play Stairway to Heaven or something. But like, you know, like that Arabian like tune is like four notes, really. Just like it's like, you know, one, two, three, two, one, two, three, four, three, two, one. Like that's it's pretty quick for your only four fingers on the same notes. So for me, I'm like, okay, well, that's going to be easy, but you're right. Like I know that there's a snake handler probably somewhere, but if I don't see that snake handler, I'm like, something wrong and like it goes off the tracks. So yeah, snakes definitely bother me. Although I would say that I'm more afraid of spiders. Like Q's tarantula punishment would be harder. And you know, that's the other thing that was fun about this was I was in my head, I was like, even if Murr knows the melody and or can play the melody, he'd be nervous with the snakes and it would make him mess up. So he'd be like, you know, like be kind of blowing and like, you know, distracted and nervous. Yeah. That to me too would mess with me. I'd probably mess up because, you know, flute's not my first or fourth instrument.
You would definitely be scared then. I get it. This actually reminded me of we had a question from a fan.
Great.
From the at 30 and Nerdy pod. Also very smart way to plug your pod by asking a question from your podcast, Twitter.
Very smart.
What's the most scared a Joker has been in a situation? Not counting skydiving or tightrope walking.
Mm.
I would say Prince Herb has been scared multiple times. Like, and he's the easiest to scare. And in some ways, I think probably the most scared if there was like a scare level, but I'm pretty sure Q is pretty messed up from the snakes. He was pretty pissed about it. He was pretty like shooken up by the spiders.
Thing is he didn't want to hurt the spiders, but him being scared, he thought that he would like wipe them or like a reflex.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to hurt the spiders. He's, you know, he's very big on animals.
And let me give you a dark horse one. Sal really wasn't going to climb that ladder in the fireman triple punishment. He was like terrified to get to the top. And then Q is like, all right, yeah, I knew you wouldn't do it, bud. But he was legit like terrified of heights at that moment. But again, because he's on the ground and not at the top and everything, it kind of is overlooked, but he was pretty terrified of that.
I might go with James Murray and the Sharks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That was my backup one. I totally agree.
James Murray and the Sharks.
It's all about animals, guys. You never know what they're going to do.
Don't. You can't predict them.
Oh, that's what they say. Kids and animals. Never act with kids and animals.
Yeah. Our show brings out the best in humanity and the worst in the animal kingdom. That's right. So that's what we always say about it.
Somebody once pointed out to me that like in any show where there's like extras and there's children, one of them is going to be looking directly into the camera. And now anytime I see a crowd scene, I get so distracted because I find the one kid who's looking into the camera. Like it happens in everything, like Marvel movies, like in Loki, there was a big crowd shot and there's just a kid spiking the lens, just looking right down the barrel. And it's like, okay, well, I have to stop looking for it. But like now it's on my mind. I'm probably like passing the curse to you guys right now.
I was getting ready to say, now I'm going to be doing the same thing.
Yeah, thank you. I'm also going to try to do it on our show.
Yes.
It's like you have seven days in the ring, but it's going to look into a lens.
Oh, that's
sorry,
great.
That's distracting. Go on.
No, I was just saying, I want to do that in our show. We should all make a pact to do that. Whenever we're in the background of a Joker shoot, just look dead into the camera. And so we'll carry on that tradition from Marvel and every other crowd scene.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're kind of in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right?
Yeah, I think so. Captain Fatbelly is probably an Avenger, right?
Yeah, or at least a Guardian of the Galaxy.
Yeah, one of those.
He's kind of a Guardian of the Burrows.
Yeah.
Although he told most of the Burrows to suck it, except for Staten Island.
Yeah, that is true. And Jersey. Yeah, I consider it as part of that cinematic universe for sure. And I think they do as well.
Yeah, good question. Want to do some more questions?
Yeah, we got another one here. This is from at Brandy 3981. I have a theory as to why you guys made Sal say in this one bit that the thing he would change about himself is his butt is too long. Was that referencing the fact that in the Universal episode, the actor played Neville Longbottom took his turn?
I don't think it is. I would like to just lie to you, but I think as an inside joke, Sal and I would make a joke about how many inches is your butt, as if it's like it's cool to have a to have more, have a butt that's bigger. And we'd be like, whoa, that guy's got like a 12 inch butt. So I think that's where that came from.
Yeah. But I also
now just remember everything I just said there, switch it out with Prince Herb. Okay. And I apologize.
I love fan theories, and that's one of my favorite ones that I've seen. Cause it's like, that just means like you're ingesting so much Jokers and you're thinking about it critically. And, it's something like as someone that was an English minor, I had to do a lot of BS papers like that, where you just like overanalyze a text and try to put some meaning behind it. I feel like that's what Brandy did right there. So great job. I think you could probably defend that theory, but it is incorrect. All right. And do we want to hop in and do one more?
Yeah, let's do one more.
This one comes from at Nikki Elena. I'm just curious what the writing process is for Impractical Jokers, because I've heard the guys made comments that the show is mainly making stuff up as they go, aka improv. So is it just combining ideas and writing them down, or what?
Yeah, that's a good question. We get that question a lot, especially, you know, James and I as like, you know, comedy producers.
Yeah.
I guess the thing would be that we help generate ideas in the, like, when I kind of come up with stuff, I'm like, what would the guys come up with? You know, they set the tone of the show. They came up with the majority, especially early on. They had the idea of the show. So we're always trying to think of that, but also kind of, you know, bring our own sensibilities, our own comedic personalities to it. But it's always like, we always want to push the show in. And I think this episode is a good example, especially the first challenge of like, what else can we do with this, you know, hidden camera thing where, you know, it's a game, but like, you know, the embarrassment's on the guy, you know, those are kind of things we have to do.
Yeah.
As long as it's like, it's either got to be like purely embarrassing for the guy, or it's gamified where there's like a way, although this first bit, I don't think we'd be able to do it in other seasons, because it's not that embarrassing for the Joker. It's really just like the luck of the draw with the mark, but then you need to use your own personality and skill to keep them in. Like when Prince Herb is like, you know, when he says stuff like, you know, what's a good word? And he says traction. He's like, traction is going to be our, that's our whole mentality. It's like giving, keeping him confident. And there's that other thing of like, oh, because of the website, it said that you climbed Mount Everest. He's helping that along. So there's like those personalities you have to put into it. But for the most part, that whole challenge, the way you got to think about it is like, that's the guys flexing their comedic tone, their voice. Like what they find funny is that entire challenge to put somebody on the spot. And it's almost more pranky than other stuff we've done in the past, to be honest with you. But it's not like, haha, we got you. It's just like, let's see how willing this person is to go along with this bit, the charade.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the way I look at that too, is it's one of the weirder ones. And that's why I like pairing a weirder challenge with something that's more up the middle, like Dating Profile, where it's like, this is like, almost, I would almost say like a rinse and repeat bit, where it's like, we can do Dating Profile once a season if we want to. We don't, but this is like the third or fourth time we've done it. That's like the show. I have a Dating Profile, but I didn't write it. The other guys wrote it.
Right.
And so sometimes, and we'll help the guys like pitch ideas like, hey, what do you think about this? Or like, you know, and like different like little slugs they could say, you know, like the bergamot rose and the nape of your neck. Like maybe, you know, you might pitch that to one of the guys and be like, hey, it'd be embarrassing if you send this out to Murray. So you do stuff like that as well. But like what Casey's saying is like, it's a lot of coming up with ideas for segments, whether that segment's a challenge or a punishment. That is the majority of the gig, is like just coming up with big ideas and giving the guys, again, like the lanes that they've created, and just giving them the space to go out and improvise after that. So it's okay, great. You know, what if you guys were like working at an eyeglass store and we just worked with one mark the entire time, and you went from here to there, to there, to there, to there. It's like that.
Yeah.
It would be like an idea you can pitch, even though I think Gatto may have come up with that idea. I'm not positive who did at this point, but that's my guess. Do you know Casey who came up with one mark gauntlet, as we call it?
No, I think it was probably just like
on set.
Yeah. Just like, or something where someone was like, oh, we could do this into this thing. And then they were like, well, we can keep doing it this into this into this. They always kind of wanted to do that. A good way to think of the show in terms of coming up with ideas, or like why that happened early on in the show, we figured out like, okay, we have to film a lot of these challenges, like, you know, multiple days a week. So it's a lot of work just for four guys.
Yeah.
So they were like, we need like to hire people to help us. And then that way we could oversee. So it's like, let's say we get like 50 ideas from like the comedy producers. We get to look at them, pick our favorites. That inspires this for me. I could turn this into this, keep this a secret for Murr. You know, like there's, that's the thing. It's like, what do you call it? Like when you export, or like how, like, you know, a phone call bank, they're like, oh, we'll get some people in another country to do all the,
outsourcing.
That's right. It, baby. They're outsourcing to us, and we are another country for the guys.
And it's like anything else. Like I remember when I was a kid, just thinking like David Letterman wrote his top 10 list every night. You know, like I'm like, yes, yeah. Every day he wrote his top 10 list, and he would go out and show the people in his audience, and then wake up and do it again the next day.
Sometimes this thing happens where like Prince Herb will be like, oh, for this bit, it needs to be something like this. And then he'll give us like 15 examples, and we'll be like, okay, we'll just use those. We'll just use those examples he gave us. he did the work. So that's good.
Absolutely. And yeah. So thanks, Nikki Elena, for the question.
Good question. Good questions all around. We love the questions. Hashtag Joker's podcast. Podcast? What did I just say? Joker's podcast.
Yeah, podcast. It'll be a new Q's Brew, the podcast.
Have you guys been watching I Think You Should Leave?
Just started it last night.
Did you see the casket one?
No.
Okay, never mind. Anyway, everybody out. Should
fans,
watch.
Check it out.
Oh, but you did see the one where he's in the costume in the mall, right?
No, because I came in, my wife was watching it, and then I just came in. So like, is that like one of the first episodes?
It is in the first episode. I think it's in Okay. So
I came in the third.
I'm just telling everybody to watch I Think You Should Leave. It's a very funny show that's on Netflix starring Tim Robinson. This guy, Zach Kanan, and him came up with the show. It's the second season. And there's two things in it that like, well, one thing is it's not like Joker's, but it's set up almost like our good friend, Gary Richardson is like behind the microphone in the van as Tim is all like in a costume, and he goes out into a mall as if he's going to do some hidden camera shenanigans, but it's just a very uncomfortable costume, and it really makes me laugh.
Oh, all right. Got to check it out.
So that's the other show recommendation of the week, guys. That's what we do now. Every episode starting now.
I love it.
And maybe not next week.
I can't wait to beat them at an award show someday.
Yep.
The True TV Awards. Come and get it. So I Think You Should Leave. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. I'm James McCarthy.
I'm Casey Jost.
I'm Shay. I don't know what was my last name.
Say your first name? I mean, you're Shayvon DeBerry.
It's Shayvon DeBerry. See, got me saying my last name wrong. It's Shayvon DeBerry, but nobody, it's Shay. I'm Shay.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you.
Bye, Shayvon DeBerry.
I love you.
Au revoir.
Peace out.
Officially invited to Joker Podcast.